Do you have a will? Seems like a simple enough question. We get asked that question a lot. I ask that question a lot in my secular job on a daily basis as I serve the funeral homes. And some people might answer that question and say, you know, if you're talking about that legal document that declares to whom my possessions will go after death, well then, yeah, I've got a will. Now that's a legal will. Perhaps you or someone who's talking about you might say he or she has a strong will. I heard that a lot as a kid. I don't think that was a compliment. All humans have a free will. Most humans appreciate goodwill. And we, at some point in our lives, would all admit that we just need a little bit more willpower. You see, that word in the spiritual, biblical, functional tense is defined as wishing or desiring or choosing, especially in reference to the will of God. And yes, our Father has a will. Now, there's some ambiguity there. And a little bit of confusion, because when we hear that, we say, well, wait a second. Our Father's will. What Father are you talking about? Which Father are we referencing? Our earthly Father. Is that who we're talking about? Our heavenly Father. Is that who we're talking about? Well, what if I told you that both our earthly and our heavenly Father's wills are and should be known well? What is our Father's will? A lot of people spend their whole lives trying to figure it out. They'll say, I'll do it if it's God's will, but I really don't know what his will is. Or they'll say, you know what, I feel like that it's God's will for me to do this, but I'm still a little bit confused on whether I should move forward with this or not. And sadly, there's a lot of confusion that comes from our earthly fathers and our heavenly Father, not because they give us confusion, but because we just don't understand what they want us to do. Today, we need to know what our fathers want us to do. You know, God's word has a lot to say about his will. Perhaps one of the most declarative statements comes from God's Son in one of the most scripturally descriptive passages, which is found in Matthew 6, 5 through 15, where we learn about the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, starting in verse 9, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, there is no confusion on which Father he's referring to here. He says, Hallowed or holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We know the rest. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Essentially, Jesus is saying to his Father, Your will must be done down here. Your will be done up there. Jesus is acknowledging in this passage and in this prayer that his Father has a will. And according to Matthew 6, verse 10, it's evidenced in both places. In John 4, 34, he expands his thought. He says, and Jesus told his disciples, he says, My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Jesus said in John 5, verse 30, he says, My judgment is absolutely fair and just, for it is according to the will of God who sent me and is not merely my own. Mark 3, 35. Jesus says, Anyone who does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus, God's perfect and holy Son, knew how to defer to his Father's will. Dr. George W. Truett once said this. He says, To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. But to do the will of God is the greatest achievement. Listen to what Jesus says about that in our sermon text for today, which is found in John 6, 35 through 40. Here's what that passage says. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. No one coming to me will ever be hungry again. Those believing in me will never thirst. But the trouble is, as I have told you before, you haven't believed even though you've seen me. But some will come to me, those the Father has given me, and I will never, never reject them. For I have come here from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, and not to have my own way. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those that he has given me, that I should raise them to eternal life at the last day. For it is my Father's will that everyone who sees his Son and believes on him should have eternal life, that I should raise him at the last day. Now, in this passage, Jesus shows us his Father's will. And many people walk around and say, I don't even know what my Father's will is. I don't know. I want to know what my Father's will is. And Jesus makes it very clear right here what it is. He says, my Father's will is to repent for my people, my children, to repent of their sin and trust in my Son. That's what God's will is. You see, we make it very difficult. We ask a lot of questions. We sometimes get confused on what God wants us to do. But God, through Jesus Christ, makes it very clear today that His will, first and foremost, is for us to repent of our sin and trust in His Son. Look at 38. For I have come here from heaven to do the will of God who sent me and not to have my own way. Now, it's interesting to note that Jesus, perfect in deity and equality to God, the Heavenly Father, that Jesus was willing to say at this point in human form that he was willing to say, it's not about my way. Rather, I came here to fulfill my Father's will. You see, Jesus contrasted his way with his Father's will. In fact, we see this thought acted out in Matthew 26:39, where Jesus, prior to his arrest and his trial and his crucifixion, uttered these words in Gethsemane's garden in painful prayer, and he says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me, but I want your will, not mine. I want your will, not mine. You know what Jesus is saying? I want your will, not my way. I need to do your will because my way may not be the right way. You see, our way oftentimes gets in the way of God's will. And when it does, oftentimes we know it. We feel the pang of conviction. We feel contrition. We feel sorrow. And we realize that we are not acting or doing or living according to God's perfect will. William Barclay once said regarding these words of Jesus that he stated this with the accent of perfect trust. And folks, when we trust in Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, when we love Jesus, when we live for Jesus, we become part of God's great will. You see, when you repent of your sins, when you trust in His Son, you become part of God's will. And God says, now I have a plan for you. Now I have things to do that you will do for me through you. Now you are part of what I want you to do to accomplish my perfect will. And we're all part of it. As believers who trust in our Lord and Savior, we're part of it. And so today we look at God and we say, and we should be asking God, what is your will? I've repented of my sins. I've trusted in your Son. What is your will? Jesus, God's Son, was committed to his Father's will. First, we will be convicted, and that will happen. Next, we will be repentant, and that should happen. But then what? What happens? Are we as dedicated, committed, and devoted as God's elected and adopted and justified and sanctified children to our Heavenly Father's will? Let me ask us this. Today, on this Father's Day, are we fathers on this Father's Day willing to fully submit to our Heavenly Father's will? Does that mean that we have to give up our way? In many cases, it does. In fact, it says today, fathers, it says that we will say, Father, I don't want my way, but rather, I'm here today to follow your will. You see, it's easy to say it and agree to it, but it's much harder to actually do it. You know, and I know that we sometimes say something like this, God, I know that you have a will for me. I see it in Scripture. I'll submit to your will as long as you allow me to still have my own way. Now, we do that a lot. And what happens is God says, but your way normally does not align with my will. And so if you want to live according to my will, you may have to sacrifice the very things that you think are important to you today. Fathers, this is what God has called us to do. So fathers, have we repented of our sin? Have we trusted in his Son? And are we examples? And can our examples make disciples of our children? What is our will, fathers? And does our will, fathers, align with our Heavenly Father's will? Sadly, there are many fathers, and I say that sadly because many fathers who have repented and trusted in God's Son who have chosen to still walk their own way. They see their way as being greater than God's will. They might have repented. They might have trusted in Jesus, but they are not invested in Jesus. They don't live for Jesus. And in many cases, it doesn't look like they love Jesus. And they set a very bad example for their children because of this. And never once do they say, I'll do it if it's God's will. I'll live it because it's God's will. I'll love you and I will help you and serve you because it's God's will. It just doesn't come up. Eli. Many of them know Eli the priest, as we read about in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli was an Old Testament example of a father who ignored his heavenly father's will. If you spend any time in the Old Testament, specifically in 1 Samuel, you'll read about Eli, and it's not so evident when you read about what Eli did. Eli just looked like he functioned in the temple. He looked like a priest who had two sons, but here's what Eli did. Eli had two sons, Phinehas and Hophni. They were two sons who were uncontrollable. And the problem was that Eli never held them accountable. Now, Eli knew his father's will. As a priest, he had to. He knew the Ten Commandments. Specifically in Exodus 20, verse 12, we read these words, honor your father and mother. As a priest, he needed to know it, and he knew it. But he didn't stand by it. And his kids were out of control. And his kids were not accountable. And his kids were subsequently killed because they were out of control and weren't accountable. And Eli suffered because of this. And my point is this, fathers, just because we wear the badge and the title doesn't mean that we are always accountable. We have to live according to our Father's will. God told his people in Ezekiel 20, verse 18. He said, I said this to the children in the desert. Keep in mind, this is after the Exodus. They are now out in the wilderness. They've not started their wanderings yet. God has called them to go into the promised land. And the people said, but those people are scary. I don't want to go to the promised land. Have you seen those people? They're large. They're going to attack us. They're going to beat us. And the people said, we're not going. And here's how God addresses. He said, I said to their children in the desert, do not follow the statutes of your fathers or keep their laws or defile yourselves with their idols. Can you imagine, fathers, if God would ever come to you and say, you're not setting a good example. I can't even ask your children to be disciples because they don't have an example. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God calling fathers out today and saying that? I hear these words and I realize that God asks a lot of us. That God expects, fathers, a lot of us. Earthly fathers, our father's will, God's will, is first for us to repent of our sins, and next, it is to be transformed by him. Fathers, would you say you've changed? Would you say fatherhood changed you? Would you say fatherhood has made you better, brought you closer to your Savior? Would you say, fathers, that today I think that I am an example, and if you ask my children would say, I'm becoming a disciple because of what I've done. Fathers, our Heavenly Father's will is that we are supposed to be changed, transformed, that we are to be like Jesus and live like Jesus, that we are to show our children Jesus. Romans 12:2 says this. Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Fathers, his will is right. Our will oftentimes is wrong. And folks, a wrong will lead to wrong ways. And they will lead to difficult days. And fathers, we've been there. We've done things that not have been according to God's will. We have said we're going to do it our way. We've brought our children up, in many cases, done things that have not been according to God's will. And we've paid for it. And we've suffered because of it. But fathers, it doesn't have to stop there. Today is a new day. It is Father's Day. A day where we can reinvest in Jesus Christ. A day where we can have changed lives, transformed by Jesus, that says, I want to follow his will. Theologian Edgar James once said this. He says that the earthly father's life will, quote, be in conformity to God's will, and others will see that such a life is good, acceptable, and perfect, end quote. In essence, us fathers, transformation can compel our children's salvation. Look at 39 and 40. Jesus says, and this is the will of God. Second time he mentions it. He says, this is the will of God that I should not lose even one of all of those that he has given me, but that I should raise them to eternal life at the last day. For it is my Father's will that everyone who sees his Son and believes on him should have eternal life, that I should raise him at the last day. This is God's will. Fathers, don't we want eternal life for our children today? If I was asked, what would be the greatest gift that I could get on Father's Day? And I've already gotten two downstairs, little neat little pages of paper that the girls created downstairs because I think Laura had this activity, and I noticed that Jillian, she made this, and it's the footprints poem, and I think they put their foot on it with paint. That's really neat. I'm going to treasure this. I'll never throw it away. I'll keep it forever. That's what I do. But my daughter, my oldest daughter, was so smart because she put a Cubs logo on it. And that was that's a great gift for me. That's a great gift. But it's not what I would want for Father's Day. If you ask me, Dad, what do you want for Father's Day? Let me tell you what I want for Father's Day. I want to know that my children will be with me in eternity for the rest of our lives every single day. That's what I want. That's my gift. It can't be wrapped. It can't be boxed. It can't be packaged. That's what I want. And so if I want it, I got to know how to get it. And the only way I know how to get it is to fully subscribe to my Father's will. That's the only way I can do it. J. Hudson Taylor once said, I'm no longer anxious about anything. As I realize the Lord is able to carry out his will, and his will is mine. Makes no matter where he places me or how. That's rather for him to consider than for me. For in the easiest positions, he must give me his grace, and in the most difficult, his grace is sufficient. J. Hudson Taylor, an early Protestant Christian missionary, followed his Heavenly Father's will, and his transformed life was a guiding force in his children's lives who chose to follow their earthly father and Heavenly Father's wills. And folks, those wills aligned. Fathers, do ours. Does our will align with our Father's will? Fathers, do we look like God? Do we seem like God? Do we live like God to our children? In essence, would our children, if we said, if we go up, someone went up and said, hey, what is your Father's will? Would our children say, I don't know which father you're talking about, but you know what? I know that my earthly father, my heavenly father, have the same will. Can you imagine if your children would say that? I don't know who you're talking about, but it doesn't matter because they live according to the same word and the same will. Fathers, can we say this today? Is our Father's will our will? If it is, fathers, we will repent of our sin. We will be transformed or changed into men of righteousness and Christ-likeness, and we will then live like him. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Jesus did God's will. Jesus, living like Jesus, we being transformed by Jesus, living by Jesus, like Jesus, will do his will, and then likely our children will follow that same will. That's what I want. You see, I don't trust my will. I've made some bad decisions. I've done some bad things. I've said, kids, let me do it my way. My way has made a lot of mistakes. My way messes things up a lot. But God's will is perfect, and God's will says, follow my way, which is the right way, and trust me, I will get you and your kids and your family where they need to be today. That's how I look at it. You know, I love this passage. Joshua, in that famous passage in Joshua 24, verse 15, that's one we probably committed to memory. But I love what he says because he's talking about, he says, as for me and my family, remember this line? As for me and my family, Joshua says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That's our mantra. That's our calling card. That is exactly what we stand by, fathers, today. So what has prevented today's fathers, especially Christian fathers, from following our Heavenly Father's will? It is, as Jesus said in John 6:38, a selfish desire to have our own way. You know, it's interesting because our way is oftentimes not aligned with God's will, and oftentimes it affects our children, and it doesn't reflect the righteousness of Christ to our children. And so what our children see are two different lives with two different wills. And our children might even look at us and say, you know what? Dad, I read God's word, and you don't look like that. You don't talk like that. You don't act like that. And I'm going to tell you, if I ever heard that, it would break my heart. We have a responsibility, fathers, to look like God and act like God and talk like God and live by His word and subscribe to His will. Sadly, instead of repenting of sin, oftentimes, fathers, we just choose to simply repeat our sins. We can't do this. We are then not transformed within, rather we remain conformed to the world and controlled willingly by the world. And subsequently, we look nothing like our Savior who followed the will of His Heavenly Father. And that means we have no willpower. And folks, let me make sure that we understand this today. There is power in God's will. In fact, there is so much power in God's will that you can say today, fathers, you can leave this church and say this. You can say, today, because I have repented of my sins and I have trusted in Jesus and I've subscribed to His will, that now I have will power. But that will power comes from God and God alone. You see, God's will is perfect in every way. God's word is perfect in every way. And God's will tells us to live like Him every day, because if you do, fathers, you're going to have some power. This is what we need today. Following our Christian fathers, our Heavenly Father's will is not easy. I was not always a pastor. I can't even imagine the torture I brought to my father. I cannot imagine it. Today, even as a Christian and a believer, it's still not easy. Fathers, if you might be sitting there today and saying, I'm defeated, I can't do this, it's so difficult, it's so hard. Have you read His word? And I've read His word. And I know His word, and I can tell you this, that God's grace is far more sufficient and far more powerful than our way. And fathers, you can leave here today and know this. You can know that if you subscribe to His will, live by His word, and trust in His way, that He'll help you along the way. And when you feel like you're defeated, and when you feel like you can't move on, or you can't go on, or you can't make an impact on your children, you can know today that God's will has power. This is not easy. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:17, he says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil-doing. Fathers, we must constantly be striving to do the will of God. So let me ask you this, fathers, today. Is our will worth following and doing today? Is it perfectly aligned with God's will? What are our wishes and our choices and our desires? The teacher asked one of her young students if he knew his numbers. Yes, the little boy said, I do. My father taught me. Well, good, said the teacher. What comes after 3? The boy said, 4. What comes after 6? The boy said, 7. Very good, the teacher said. Your father did a good job. What comes after 10? Little boy confidently said, a jack. Our children are listening, our children are watching, our children are learning. Is our will like God's will? Does our will sound like, look like, is it lived like God's will? If it is, then we as fathers, following the will of our Heavenly Father and the words of our Savior, will long for our children to be saved and raised at the last day. Fathers, that's the ultimate Father's Day gift, that you can walk out of this church today and know this, that if you follow your God's will, if you follow your Father's will, and if you love God's will, and if you will live by God's will, your children have a chance today to be and to follow in a better way. I want to share something with you. We do this every Sunday or every Saturday night. I was at a wedding last night. I had to cut out. I was sitting with Donna last night. I had to cut out. I had to get home, and we had to work on this. And anyway, one of the things that we did is our girls listen to the sermon. They go to Trinity Lutheran School. One of their assignments is that they have to listen to the pastor's sermon, and they have to make notes on it. And so it always intrigues me. Every time we get done, I go in and I'll talk to my wife about the sermon, and then I go to my kids. And I say, girls, what did you get out of the sermon? Well, I thought on Father's Day I should share with you what they wrote about this sermon. So this is their words exactly as they have made notes, and I wrote these down. First, Jada. Jada's 10 years old, and she said this. By the way, she did write 25 minutes for the sermon. So gotta love that she's watching her clock. Jada said, nothing can get in the way of God's will, even though it happens many times. These are her words. Little 10-year-old Jada. She says, God's will is perfect. We may think that our way is the greatest, but God's is our Father's. But God's is. Our Father's could not have the same power as our Heavenly Father. Here's Jillian. Jillian says, we usually can't have our way. We have to have God's will. God's will always be the right way, and God's will is important. We want God's will to be our way, but that's not how it is. Our way can get us into trouble. If fathers follow God's will, then they will be a good example to their kids and know that their kids will be in eternity with them. I got done, and I looked at them, and I said, girls, I think you got it. And I said, would you mind if I share this as part of Father's Day? And they ripped their sheets out and said, Dad, we want you to share this on Father's Day. Here's my point. My point is today that if we choose to follow our Father's will, that our children have a chance. And that's what our children today need, is a chance, an opportunity to spend their lives with their family in eternity. That is what every father should want as their perfect Father's Day gift. And so fathers today, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being an example. Thank you for showing your children how important it is to be disciples. Fathers, you today have followed your Father's will. Let's stand and close. The song is called Lord, I Need You. Seems fitting. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you say, I just want to rededicate my life to Christ, come to the altar. We will pray with you. Our prayer team will meet you up here. Let's sing. Heavenly Father, we need you. Fathers, earthly fathers, we need you. We need you to be the examples to your children. We need you to make disciples of your children. We need you to cast aside your own way. We need you to say, the world is not my world. The world is God's world, and I'll live according to his will while I'm in this world. Folks, that is the message today. Fathers, I cannot thank you enough for being here and representing Jesus Christ today. Now, let's take this thing out. Let's go outside of these walls of this church and influence our kids and other people each and every day as fathers who serve a great and perfect Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your will, and it is perfect. We're not perfect. We'll fail. We'll fall short. But by your grace, your compassion, your mercy, you will keep us on the right path as long as we follow your will. And today we submit our way to you. We thank you for giving us our fathers, and we celebrate them and acknowledge them today, their strength, their compassion, their love, their dedication, their hard work, and their service. And now I pray that you will empower our earthly fathers to just love and follow Jesus. And I pray today that you will help us to grow in our faith each and every day. Help us now, I pray. Keep us safe as we return to our homes, our workplaces this week. Help us to impact the lives of those we come in contact with and meet. And we praise your holy name. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Father's Day, fathers.